30s is where I'm coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's time again to study our Sunday school lesson. And we have made it to a new quarter. This is our spring quarter. This is our spring quarter, and this is the first lesson on our spring quarter. We'll look the month of March. We'll be looking at the first unit is God Requires Justice. And so we'll focus in. Our lessons are going to be focusing in on justice throughout the month of March. And then in April, we're going to look at God's promises, a just kingdom. So we're going to look at the kingdom of God. And then the month of May, we'll look at God's call, a call to God's work of justice. So we'll go back again and we'll look at how God is calling us to do justice. And so we'll start with justice and we'll end with justice. And so this is March 1st. This is March 1st. And our lesson is a call to accountability. A call to accountability. Now, let's look at the text. The text is taken out of Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. Verses 18 through 24. And it reads like this. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. And if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assembly. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offering of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy song, for I will not hear the melody of thy violence. But let the judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty spring. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are, the God who hears and you still answer prayers. Lord, speak now to our hearts in a mighty way. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen. All right. We're looking now at the book of Amos, our lesson is entitled, A Call to Accountability. Now, this is a great lesson. This is a great lesson. And it's kind of a shame that we don't really study the whole chapter 5 here. We're only focusing on verses 18 through 24. But if you study the whole book of Amos, you will see a masterpiece of how to talk to people who done got the word I'm looking for is who done got off track. Let's approach it from that angle. Amos, he talks to them in a indirect manner when he first started out. Well, let's get a little background to Amos. Who is Amos? Well, according to verse number 1, Amos says that the word of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. So we see here in this particular text, it tells us who he is. Who is he? He's a herdsman. He's a herdsman. When you look at chapter 7, verse number, let's see here. I'm in the wrong book. Let me get back over here to Amos. Chapter 7, verse number 14, it says, "Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I am no prophet, neither am a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit." And so you see, he was a farmer. He was a farmer. He was a rancher. He was a herdsman, and so you see that he had some herds. He had some cattle. He had some cattle. He probably had some sheep and some goats and cows, and then he had some sycamore trees and stuff. So you see, this was a hard working man. He used his hand. He got his hands dirty. He wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. And he prophesied during the years of King Uzziah. And King Uzziah was a good king. He was a good king. And he was from Judah, Amos. He was from Judah. But he went to the northern tribe and prophesied against Israel. And he was during the days, the Bible said it was during the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. And so this is Jeroboam the second, Jeroboam the second. Because remember, Jeroboam the first was back in Solomon day, and that's when the kingdom first was split. And so basically, you're seeing about 170 years after the kingdom was split under Rehoboam, Solomon's son. So we're looking at about 170 years later. And the thing about this particular timing, Israel was at its greatest in terms of prosperity. I mean, they was flourishing. I mean, they was really living, you know, if in the country, we would say high on the hog. I mean, they was eating good. They stayed in nice houses. I mean, they had a lot of prosperity. They had nice houses, nice clothes. They had plenty of food. It was a time of plenty. And notice now, whenever there's a time of plenty, there's also a time of evil pleasure. Yeah, that's when people, when they have plenty, people just go wild. In the country, they would say buck wild. These people, they just went wild. As a result, God says, I need to send my prophets. Now, keep in mind, these prophets that we see today on television, they always prophesying good stuff, good stuff. They just prophesy mostly more prosperity and more pleasure. No, in the Bible, the prophets was more like, the role of the prophets was more like the sheriff. They was like the deputy sheriff. They would be like Matt Dillon. Whenever somebody would come into Dodge City and they would get out of line in Dodge City, Matt Dillon would go after them. He would go after them. Well, that's what is happening here in our text. God is sending his lawman. Yeah, that's what the prophet is. Whenever you got out of line with the law of God, God would send his lawman, the prophet, to let you know where you breaking God's law, and you better line back up or else. In other words, the prophet most of the time would come with a threat. He would come with a threat from God that you better change, you better repent, unless God is going to bring down some judgment. And so what you have here in our lesson, you have God sending the prophet to hold these people accountable. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And notice now the way the book of Amos is set up. It shows us how God not only holds Israel and Judah, his people, accountable. God is holding the nations. He's the God of the nation. He's the God of the whole world. God holds everybody accountable. And that's what, and you see that as you read through the book of Amos. And notice, rather than hitting these people with judgment, Amos goes up there. He gets an audience and he tells them, chapter 1, verse 3, thus said the Lord, for 3 transgression of the masters, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment. So God is letting you know, I'm finna punish the masters, because they done got a line. Now, the masters was way up there in Syria, but God is holding them accountable. Here in verse 6, he talks about Gaza. He's holding them accountable. Verse number 9, he talks about Tyre, how he's holding them accountable. Verse 11, he talks about Edom, how, what he going to do to Edom, because he's holding them accountable. Verse number 13, he talks about Ammon, because he's holding them accountable. Verse chapter 2, verse number 1, he talks about Moab. He's holding the nation of Moab accountable. And so he... Can't you imagine all these people are clapping when they hear, oh, thank you, God. Thank you that you're going to get the master. Thank you, you're going to get Gaza. Thank you, you're going to get Tyre. Thank you, you're going to get Edom. Thank you, Lord, you're going to get Ammon. Thank you, you're going to get Moab. And then he even says in verse number 4 of chapter 2, he talks about Judah. And so, it's getting closer to home now, but can't you hear the people say, oh yeah, them people down south, yeah, yeah, they need to get it. Yeah, I've been waiting on them to get it. But then he comes to verse number 6, and he says, for 3 transgression of Israel, and for 4, I will not turn away his punishment. Now, he brings it home. He started way up there in Damascus. Then he went all around Israel, pointing to these other nations, but then he finally brings it home, and he talks about Israel. And then when you look at chapter 3, he talks about how all 12 of the tribes, because he said in chapter 3, verse number 1, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against their whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt. All 12 tribes. God says all 12 tribes, all y'all in trouble. He come to chapter 4, and God in chapter 4, he lets them know, I've been judging y'all. I've been giving y'all a little spanking, but y'all ain't repenting. You're not responding right when I give you a little spanking. See, look at verse number 6 of chapter 4. He says, and I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places. Yet ye have not returned unto me, said the Lord. And the Lord said, I gave y'all this spanking. In other words, I withheld the food from you. Now, when you ain't, you know, most of the time when you finish eating, you normally have something between your teeth. If you done ate some meat, you normally have to get your little toothpick or get your fingernail or something and kind of get your meat out between your teeth. But God says, y'all ain't been eating. I withheld the food. And but you still didn't return. He says the same thing in verse number 8. God judged them again, but they still didn't return. Look at the end of verse number 10. He says, yet have ye not returned unto me. Verse number 11. He says, yet have ye not returned unto me. God's been giving them a spanking, but they still won't return. And then when you come to chapter 5, God just plead with the people. He plead with the people to come on back, to seek the Lord. Don't be seeking the world, but seek the Lord. Look here at chapter 5, verse number 4. He said, for thus said the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Verse 5, he says, but seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Bathsheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captive. Bethel shall come into nothing. These was places where they worship idol gods at Bethel and Gilgal. He said, don't go over there. Don't go there. Don't seek no false gods. Verse 6, seek the Lord and ye shall live. See how God is pleading with the people? He keeps saying, seek the Lord. Verse number 8, seek him who made the seven stars. Look at verse number 14. You see the word seek again. Seek good and not evil. He says, seek good. Seek the Lord, y'all. But the people won't seek the Lord. So now we come to our lesson, come to our text. What do we have here in the text? We see that the people, they got the wrong view of the day of the Lord. Notice what they said in verse number 16. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord said thus, wailing shall be in the streets, and they shall say in all the highway, alas, alas, they shall call the farmer to mourning, and such as the skill for the lamentation to wailing, and all the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, says the Lord. So God is going to judge the people. He said, woe unto you that the desire of the day of the Lord, to what end is it to you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. They were saying, see, they had the view that God, they was waiting around for the day of the Lord. They said, when the day of the Lord come, God is going to really, 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 really judge their enemies. But God says, see, you thinking that the day of the Lord is going to be light and it's going to be dark to your enemy. It's going to be dark to you. This is going to be dark times for you. That's why God says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. See, they was looking forward to the day of the Lord. He says, to what end is it to you? That's a question. And God answers, for the day of the Lord is darkness, not light. So God is correcting a faulty view that they had regarding the day of the Lord. See, most of the time, the average person, when people do wrong, they say, oh, God is going to really judge them. God is going to judge them. But what about yourself? When you do wrong, God is going to judge you. Yeah. We have a faulty view of the judgment of God. It's easy for us to think that God is going to judge other folks. But just like God judged other folks, God is going to judge us. See, Israel thought because they was God's chosen people, then they was going to be exempt from the judgment of God. No. As a matter of fact, you're going to get yours now rather than later. Yeah. See, the thing about God's children, God's chastening his children right now in this lifetime. Yeah, God chastening. Matter of fact, that's one of the signs you know that you are indeed a child of God, is God holds you accountable. Matter of fact, strict accountability. Yeah. See, the Bible, see, one of the reasons that God don't judge worldly people like he judge Christian people, his people, is because worldly people are storing up wrath for the day of judgment. See, God knows that they're going to go to hell, and then they're going to have to be judged in hell. They're going to be punished the rest of their life forever and ever and ever and ever again. So God, a lot of times, he don't hit them right then. See what people do so often. People in the church, they look at worldly people and they say, look at that, them people, they ain't living right, they drinking, they smoking, they laying down with this person, they laying down with that, and ain't nothing happening to them. Yeah, but don't you go out there and try to do it. Because see, God is letting them store up wrath. In other words, God keep adding on. He keeps adding. God is counting their sins against them. And so God is going to get them on judgment day. But God's going to get you right now. Yeah, he's going to get you right now. And you want God to get you right now. Yeah. And if you don't get right, even though you may be in the church may not be in you. See, for instance, a lot of times people talk about, well, I don't have to worry about the great tribulation because, see, the church won't go through the great tribulation. Yeah, the real church won't go through the great tribulation, but the false church will. Those who ain't right with God, they going to go through. Those who really don't have their faith in God, they gonna go through. Yeah. And so, in other words, the great tribulation is not gonna be a day of light for you. It's gonna be a day of darkness if you don't get right with God. Yeah. And so, he corrects these people. They got the wrong view of the day of the Lord. They got the wrong view of the day of the Lord. But then the text goes on a little further. They are worshiping God, but they are worshiping out of a habit and not out of a pure heart. They are worshiping God out of a habit, but not a pure heart. Look at the text. Oh, well, I done got ahead of myself. Let's go back and look at verse number 19 and 20. It says, as if a man, because he's going to tell you about how the day of the Lord is going to be for folks. You're not going to be able to run. You're not going to be able to hide. That's what he's saying in verse number 19 and 20. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. So you're running from one problem, and then you find a problem that's even bigger than that. You're going from bad to worse. He says, or went into a house and leaned his hands on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Notice, not even in your own house is you saved. He said, cause shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it. And so he gives two illustrations of how the day of the Lord is going to be a day of trouble for you, because God is holding his people accountable. Then here in verse number 21, you see what I said earlier about how they are worshiping God out of a habit, but not out of a pure heart. And God hates that. Look at what he says. I hate, verse 21, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not take delight in your solemn assembly, though you offer me burnt offerings, meal offering, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard your peace offering of your fat beasts. Take away from me the noise of thy song, for I will not hear the melody of thine harp. But let justice run down like waters, and righteousness like a mighty stream. So God says, if you're not going to worship me out of a pure heart, then I don't want it. That's the bottom line. If you're not going to worship God out of a pure heart, God says, I don't want it. Now notice, God tells them, I despise your feast day. I hate it when these feast days come about. They had several feast days, such as you had your Passover, and you had the Feast of First Fruit, and then you had the Feast of Pentecost, and then you had the Feast of the Day of Atonement, the Day of Tabernacle, and then you had the Day of Trumpets. So you had all of these feast days. But God says, I'm tired of your feast days. I hate it when these feast days come up. Why is that? Because God says they are just going through the motion. They are just going through the motion. And God don't like it when we're just going through the motion. When we're just going to church just to be going to church, rather than going out of a pure heart and worshiping God out of a pure heart. God says, I hate these burnt offerings. And notice, God was the one, when you read the book of Leviticus, God was the one who came up with these offerings. Notice these three offerings. The burnt offering, that's where they had to put the whole calf, the whole cow, the whole ox on the altar. And they would just burn up the whole thing to the Lord. And then they would put the meat offering. And the meat offering, or the meal offering, is a better translation. That's where you offer God some fine flour and oil, which show more of the first fruit of the grain, you know, your plant life. And then you offered God your peace offering. Your peace offering is where you took a portion of that animal and you gave it to the Lord. And you and the priest, y'all would set and you would eat that offering. And so you would have more like communion. That was like a communal kind of a thing. But God says, I hate that. And remember when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when they was having communion, it wasn't holy communion. You know, that's why today we have to have these little bitty cups and just a teeny weeny cracker, a piece of bread. Because back in Bible days, these people, they was getting drunk at the communion table. They was being greedy. They were saving the best portion of the food for their friends and stuff like that. And then the other folks, they was mistreating them. They was mistreating them right there when they was having communion. And that's why God says, I despise it. I hate that. I don't even like their songs and stuff. But he says, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. In other words, he says, y'all need to focus on treating one another right. And see, you know, in all actuality, if you practice the two commandments, the two great commandments, to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself, then you have fulfilled what he says here about letting justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Well, that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.